Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
Okay, guys, somewhere on the line, there's a technical difficulty there somewhere, but nonetheless, welcome into the Fast Six Units of Sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Don't quite know what happened there. Everything was flowing. Next thing you know, everything just kind of stopped. So, Week 3 of the National Football League. Welcome into the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. It's your ride before the ride. Preview games come on around the nation in about 45, 50 minutes. If you're a Fox fan, look for a fun day of NFL sports. Rams Bears will be around noontime for those of you in Middle Earth. For those of you looking for the CBS feed, same time, preview game there starts in about 55 minutes. The great Sunday night affair tonight, we'll talk a little bit about that and more. And today we're going to do something a little bit different than we've done before. You know, usually we pay bills with, you know, commercials and so on. You probably may hear one commercial today. But in the middle of segments today, you're going to see or hear Week 3 previews. And your first one today, Bears-Rams. Check it out.
As summer turns to fall, the Rams head north to take on the Bears in Week 3. Under center for Chicago will be Jay Cutler, who looks to bounce back from his four-interception performance last week against Green Bay.
In trouble now, dodging and stands up left. The pass is intercepted by Green Bay.
Instead, Cutler will look to repeat his Week 1 results, when he had 333 passing yards, 119 of them to wide receiver Brandon Marshall.
Touchdown, Bears!
Led by cornerback Cortland Finnegan, the Rams' 24th-ranked pass defense will look to capitalize on Chicago's turnovers. Through 2 weeks, the Rams have forced four interceptions.
Football by Finnegan. Second interception by Cortland Finnegan in as many weeks.
Up front, the Rams are led in sacks by second-year defensive end Robert Quinn. Look for the team to take advantage of a Bears offensive line that last week gave up 7 sacks to Green Bay.
Going to throw in trouble, ripped up, slipped out of the ground at the 4-yard line.
Last week against Washington, Rams quarterback Sam Bradford threw for over 300 yards for the 4th time in his career.
Sam rolling, fires to the back of the end zone, caught by Matt Mulligan, touchdown!
160 of those yards went to Danny Amendola, who tied an NFL record with 12 first downs. As summer turns to fall, the Rams head north to take on the Bears in Week 3. Under center for Chicago will be Jay Cutler, who looks to bounce back from his 4-interception performance last week against Green Bay.
In trouble now, dodging and stands up left. The pass is intercepted by Green Bay.
Instead, Cutler will look to repeat his Week 1 results, when he had 333 passing yards, 119 of them to wide receiver Brandon Marshall.
Touchdown, Bears!
Led by cornerback Cortland Finnegan, the Rams' 24th-ranked pass defense will look to capitalize on Chicago's turnovers. Through 2 weeks, the Rams have forced 4 interceptions.
Football by Finnegan. Second interception by Cortland Finnegan in as many weeks.
Up front, the Rams are led in sacks by second-year defensive end Robert Quinn. Look for the team to take advantage of a Bears offensive line that last week gave up 7 sacks to Green Bay.
Going to throw in trouble, ripped up, slipped out of the ground at the 4-yard line.
Last week against Washington, Rams quarterback Sam Bradford threw for over 300 yards for the 4th time in his career.
Sam rolling, fires to the back of the end zone, caught by Matt Mulligan, touchdown!
160 of those yards went to Danny Amendola, who tied an NFL record with 12 first-half receptions.
Wide open Amendola, 35-30. Danny is deep in the Redskins' territory.
In order for the passing game to open up again this week, the Rams are going to need more of a performance out of starting running back Steven Jackson, who through 2 games has only 111 yards on the ground and was held out of the second half last week due to injury. The St. Louis Rams have finished with 2 wins or less in 4 of the last 5 seasons, but a win this weekend would match that win total for new head coach Jeff Fisher. This Sunday, the Saints host the Chiefs in a matchup of winless teams. Kansas City expected a much better start because of head coach Romeo Crennel's talent-laden defense. But so far, KC has already been torched for 75 points in its first 2 games.
They will run it. Spiller, big hole, left side of the 10 at the 5, heads to the end zone, touchdown!
The Saints defense has also been porous during these early weeks, sometimes allowing points when they have the ball.
Play action fake. Drew Brees rolling out to the near side. In trouble, intercepted!
interim head coach Aaron Cromer is looking for answers from a team that is really struggling so far. This week, New Orleans may turn to its dependable running game to chew up some clock and keep their defensive brethren resting on the sidelines. But this is still the Saints, which means bombs away for Drew Brees and company as they look to go after the underperforming Chiefs secondary. Expect a similar strategy when Kansas City has the ball. Castle has put up impressive passing numbers so far, but most of them have come long after the game has been decided.
Right side, deep throw, pass caught, touchdown! And the Chiefs get it to Dwayne Bowe.
Ultimately, this contest may be won by the team whose defense makes the fewest tactical mistakes. Neither unit has done very well so far, each allowing more than 37 points per game. Maybe one of them just might snap out of their funk, make more critical stops than the other guys, and help their team claim its first win of the season.
All right, kiddies, it looks like it's going to be one of those days where whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Now, I can hear the microphone guys, and I can hear me, but I can't hear anything else. So I'm going to trust and believe that the fandom out there is at least getting what they're anticipating. Anyway, 10-11 for your Sunday morning, the pregame show before the pregame show. Your host, Vinny Moore, here on the, well, you stay on the wheels of steel back in the days of D-Tang. We still do that, by the way. In the meantime, it's week three in the National Football League, and that actually may not be as important as what's going on in Major League Baseball. I say that because the bottom line is things are winding down now, and you have an entire, well, for lack of a word, a visual now of how these playoffs are going to start to kind of sort themselves out for Major League Baseball. So let's run down the standings as well as, again, we're not going to go over scores. That's kind of useless at this point. Teams are literally 151 games into their season, 11 games in most cases to go. So you've got the Yankees with a one-game lead over Baltimore. Both teams look like they're pretty solidified in the playoff picture. The White Sox have a half-game lead. They can't seem to get out of their own way, having lost four straight now with the Tigers now closing in. Again, half-game separates those two teams. The Texas Rangers, a four-game lead over the Oakland Athletics, who have played incredibly well and starting to separate themselves. Well, at least they were until most recently from the Los Angeles Angels. The A's, of course, have lost the last two. The Angels have won the last two, closing that gap to 6.5. That said, what it means for your playoffs, if the season were to end today, Baltimore and Oakland would be your two wild card teams. Again, Angels chasing down, they're 2.5 games back, and the Rays 3.5 games back. So it's not over yet. You know, it's 11 games to go, and we've seen it before where strange things can happen in the last 10 games of a baseball season. But again, looks like things are pretty set for the most part. In the National League, the Washington Nationals have secured their division with the best record in baseball at 92-59, literally running away in the National League East. So they are in. The Cincinnati Reds just clinched their division. They are in at 92-60, only a half game back for that best record in baseball. They played incredibly well. And the San Francisco Giants are in 89-63 with an 11-game lead over the Dodgers. What does that mean for your wild card love, for those of you who are so enthralled with Major League Baseball this season? It simply means that the Atlanta Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals are at tops in the wild card race, but don't count the Brewers out yet. They're 2.5 games back. The Dodgers only 3 back. And look over your shoulder. Here come the Philadelphia Phillies, 4 games back. Remember, only 10 games in most cases left in the season. So if you're holding out hope, you're a Brewer fan, you're a Dodger fan, you're a Phillies fan, you've got some things to kind of hold your head on, but you need a lot of things to kind of go your way in order for that to kind of work itself out. But that's it for Major League Baseball. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that this morning. Really just don't see the need at this point. It's a good situation and one that we're thrilled about. Hang on a second, guys. Bear with me one quick second. All right, we're going to have to do something a little bit unorthodox here today because something appears to be a little bit whack, which means even though I can hear myself, I'm not sure that you can hear me. Let's see. All right, guys, I'm not sold on what's going on technology-wise here. We may have to play one of those 5-6 minute things and then come back to the show. We need to get some of these things sorted out because that's not good. That's not a good look. And if there's dead air going out there, that's not good either. Who is this? What's up? Hang on a second. This just in. Ex-champion Corey Sanders killed. Whoa. All right, we'll talk about that after we try to sort out some of our challenges and our issues with our technology. So, let's see. We need a filler, guys. We need a filler. First and foremost, welcome in again to the Fast 6 Minutes of Sports. Sorry about the what appears to be some technical issues going on this morning. So while we sort all this out, let's see. I know we've got some fun Hall of Fame stuff. We need something we can just fill this with until we can refire this thing up one more time. Well, if you were bright enough not to wipe a lot of that stuff out. All right, very good. All right, here's what we're going to do. It's 10:16 in the morning. Again, thank you all for joining us in the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. We've got some issues going on here technology-wise. I'm going to fire off a Hall of Fame speech last year, one of the more emotional ones, from Shannon Sharp. While that thing plays, we're going to reboot some systems here, and when we come back, we should be ready to rock and roll. All right? Thanks, guys, for being here.
My big brother, Sterling. I'm the only player of 267 men that's walked through this building to my left that can honestly say this. I'm the only pro football player that's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm the second best player in my own family. You're a different hand. There's no question. There's absolutely no question in my mind we would have been the first brothers to be elected to the Hall of Fame. The 44 men and women that I thanked and congratulated early for giving me and bestowing this prestigious honor upon me, all I do is ask. All I can do is ask in the most humblest way I know how, is that the next time you go into that room or you start making a list, look at Sterling Sharpe's accomplishments, a 7-year period, of the guys that's in the Hall of Fame at the receiver position and the guys that have the potential to be in this building. That's all I ask. I don't say, hey, just do that. The next time you go in that room, think about Sterling Sharpe's number for 7 years. That's all I ask. Sterling, you're my hero, my father figure, my role model. You taught me everything I know about sports and a lot about life. I never once lived in your shadows. I embraced it. I think this is where I start to get emotional. My grannies. See, the guy that did this bust here, he went to school for that. He's trained to bring clay to life with his hands. It's my turn to bring Mary Porter to life with my voice. It's time for me to give Mary Porter a face. For all those that don't know who she is, it's my turn now. What do you say about a person that gives you everything but life? How do you start to say thank you, Granny, for a woman that raises 9 of her kids and your mom's 3, and she sacrificed more for her grands than she did her own. You see, my grandmother was a very simple woman. She didn't want a whole lot. My grandmother wanted to go to church and Sunday school every Sunday. She wanted to be in Bible study every Wednesday. And the other day, she wanted to be on a fishing creek. It was my brother's and I's job to make sure she can do that for the remaining days of her life. The only regret that I have in my 43 years that I never told my grandmother just how much she mean to me. See, my grandmother and grandfather, they raised me, and I hung on everything they say, but they didn't know it. I can tell you every time that my grandmother's ever been upset at me, I can tell you why. My brother never knew that everything he said, that I hung on it. I wanted to be so much like my brother that when I went to college, my brother's first college girlfriend, when I went to college, my first college girlfriend looked exactly like his. And the one story I want to leave you with to tell you why I became this person. When I was 12 years old, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to have some money one day, and I'm going to buy you a Mercedes, and I did. When I came and I asked my grandmother, I said, Granny, what do you want? She always called me her baby. She never called me by my name. I said, you want me to buy you a car and teach you how to drive? She said, no, son, I don't want that. I said, Granny, do you want jewelry? She said, no, son, I don't want that. She said, son, I want a decent house. And I'm thinking, I said, well, my grandmother wants 7,000-8,000 square feet. But then I knew my grandmother, knowing her like I know her, after pausing for 5 or 6 minutes, I said, Granny, what is a decent home? And I remember it like yesterday, and it was 30-plus years ago. She said, son, I want a decent home. And her words verbatim is, she said, son, I want to go to bed one night. And she said, I want God to let it rain as hard as he possibly can. And I want him to let it rain all night long. And she said, I want to wake up and not be wet. That's a decent home for my grandmother. That's all she wanted. See, for 66 years, my grandmother never went to bed and have it rain and not be wet the next morning. See, I remember those days of putting the plastic coats on the bed. And I'm going to date myself to croaker sacks, but now we call them burlap bags. I remember that. I remember putting the pots and pans on the floor to catch the rainwater, the very pots and pans that we're going to cook in the next day. I remember that. It broke my heart that my grandmother, all she wanted, she got 2 grandboys that's making $1 million, and she wanted a house that wouldn't leak. That's all she wanted. That's all my grandmother wanted. For 2 boys that's making millions, and all you want is a decent house, you want to go to bed and not get wet when you wake up. That's what drove Shannon. That's what got me here. See, my grandmother, if you give your man a word, you give a man your word, you do what you say you're going to do. See, when my grandfather died, I missed one day. I missed the day of the funeral. My grandmother didn't believe in that. If you promise somebody you're going to do something, you do it. And as my grandmother was laying in that casket on Saturday morning, I walked over to her. And I asked her 2 things. I asked her 2 things. I said, Granny, am I the man you thought I would be when you got on the train and you came to Chicago and got me at 3 months? Am I the man you thought I would be? And I stood there for about 20 seconds, and I can see her smiling. And then I asked her, are you proud? I said, Granny, are you proud of your baby? Because everything I've done in my life, I've tried to please you. I know my grandmother's proud. I know my family's proud. This day means so much to me because I get to share it with that guy right there.
And there it is, Shannon Sharpe on his Hall of Fame speech. Looks like we're all back and good again. Guys, I completely and sincerely apologize for whatever button was pushed. So I'm hoping and praying that you guys were hearing things that yours truly just couldn't hear. I was just kind of out there on that island. So anyway, let's go back to getting some fun and having some fun. You got your MLB stuff. I hope you heard me. I was hearing myself in the ear, but I could not hear anything else. So, well, as they say in the world, it is what it is.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This Sunday, the Saints host the Chiefs in a matchup of winless teams. Kansas City expected a much better start because of head coach Romeo Crennel's talent-laden defense. But so far, KC has already been torched for 75 points in its first two games.
They will run it. Spiller, big hole, left side of the 10 at the 5, heads to the end zone, touchdown!
The Saints' defense has also been porous during these early weeks, sometimes allowing points when they have the ball.
Play action fake. Drew Brees rolling out to the near side. Intercepted, picked off. It'll be a touchdown.
Interim head coach Aaron Cromer is looking for answers from a team that is really struggling so far.
And in the running game, we didn't block the jack on the man. The fullback very well. The toss by Reebok is cold. Did you get the 56?
Yeah.
He went behind you.
He went behind me.
All right. How about on the toss play?
This week, New Orleans may turn to its dependable running game to chew up some clock and keep their defensive brethren resting on the sidelines. But this is still the Saints, which means bombs away for Drew Brees and company as they look to go after the underperforming Chiefs secondary. Expect a similar strategy when Kansas City has the ball.
Castle takes it, sets his feet, fires for the end zone, and it's caught! Touchdown!
Castle has put up impressive passing numbers so far, but most of them have come long after the game has been decided.
Right side, deep throw, pass caught, touchdown! As the Chiefs get it to Dwayne Bowe.
Ultimately, this contest may be won by the team whose defense makes the fewest tactical mistakes. Neither unit has done very well so far, each allowing more than 37 points per game. Maybe one of them just might snap out of their funk, make more critical stops than the other guys, and help their team claim its first win of the season.
That certainly will be the hope for both of those two teams today as they get it on this afternoon, week three in the National Football League. All right, let's see. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about the NHL, but they're still in a lockout, and now you've got Jerome McGinley going on the world, basically, on the World Wide Web, as well as in any media outlet, saying this is entirely Gary Bettman's fault, and that's why there's no hockey, there's no camps, and the season now is greatly in jeopardy. These two sides are so far apart. I really don't know how this is going to play itself out. This is a sad, sad, sad situation. But anyway, enough about that. That's hockey, and unfortunately for those of us up in the great Northwest, it's going to be a pretty interesting fall. To our love for the CFL, let's get you kind of caught up on what's going on with that. Winnipeg, a 34-12 win over Hamilton. The BC Lions eke out a 19-18 win over Edmonton. And the game everyone is watching today actually will be Calgary, the Stampeders against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That game gets started about 4 p.m. Eastern time, which is, of course, 3 Central, 2 o'clock for those of us in the mountain world. Look for that game to mean a whole lot. And I kind of glossed over this. I mean, Winnipeg winning against Hamilton 34-12, it's only a shock because, you know, last week we talked about Winnipeg being what appeared to be the worst team in the CFL. And then so they suddenly rise up, get it together, and you know, the coach was all over that program last week about how poor the effort was and the giggling and laughing on the sidelines. It just obviously sends a bad message. But anyway, for the Calgary Stampeders going at it today against Saskatchewan, they're trying to keep pace with BC, who ekes out that win. Had Edmonton pulled off that win yesterday, certainly would have closed the gap. But BC's won 3 straight, Calgary winning 4 straight, so Calgary must win today to certainly keep pace. A game and a half right now behind BC on the Western Division of the CFL. That's your CFL love. I mentioned before we had to obviously reboot some things that fighter Corey Sanders was killed, and this was breaking news. And so I can get back to this pretty quickly here. Here we go. Oh, that's not good. You know, guys, I'm not sure. I don't really think this this is anything that you guys have done. I really don't. I'm not going to blame anybody. part of the challenge of being a host of a show and being the guy on the front line is everyone calls and says, "Man, what's wrong? What's going on with Vince's show? What's wrong? It's not as smooth." You know, as one who considers himself a professional, you realize sometimes you got to deal with things that you just don't see coming. And so you work through it as best you can, keep on moving. This just out of Cape Town, South Africa. Former heavyweight champion Corey Sanders has died after being shot by robbers at a restaurant during a family celebration. This young man was 46 years old. Shot in the hand and stomach at a family member's 21st birthday party at the restaurant in Brits in South Africa's Northwest Province on Saturday night. He died in a hospital in the capital city of Pretoria in the early hours of Sunday morning. A former WBO and WBU champion, the South African southpaw, knocked out Vladimir Klitschko in one of the greatest upsets in heavyweight boxing in 2003. He retired in 2008 with a 42-4 record with 31 knockouts. So there you have the news on Corey Sanders. A bit of a shock where that's concerned, but prayers with him, with the family regarding that. A little NBA news for those of you who haven't been paying attention to the NBA a whole lot. Derrick Rose is out. Dwight Howard's now a Laker. And if you're not looking to the West Coast for some excitement this year, then you're not really playing. You're not really paying attention. Shaq says the New York Knicks are going to be the team to beat. And many people are simply asking Carmelo, can he become or can he play as hard, not as well, but as hard certainly, as LeBron James? And if that is the case, then you may be looking at the New York Knicks as the team of the East. Again, the Bulls without Derrick Rose, and the Celtics will be the Celtics, and they'll still be there. Miami will certainly be there. They'll still be the same. So there'll be some great things to be talking about as well. All right, to college football. It's 10:32 in Middle Earth today, or 9:32 out here in Mountain Standard Time. Let's run down your top 25 in college football from yesterday. This is always fun, only because there's always a proverbial upset. Number 25, Nebraska, a 73-7 winner over Idaho. That was just, well, they probably just scored again. Boise, a 7-6 win over BYU. I'm not sure if that's something they want to be too terribly proud of. Mississippi State, a 30-10 winner over Seoul. 21, Michigan State, a 23-7 winner. Number 20, Louisville, a 28-21 winner. Number 19, UCLA falls to Oregon State. Number 17, TCU takes care of UVA, 27-7. Number 16, Ohio State, a 29-15 winner over UAB. Florida, 38-0 over Kentucky, a nice little whitewash there. USC, who had fallen to number 13, is a 27-9 winner over Cal. Nice defense from the USC Trojans. Number 11, Notre Dame handles Michigan, slows down Denard Robinson, and that score 13-6 in its final. West Virginia, 31-21 winner over Maryland. Number 7, the South Carolina Gamecocks. That program is getting so strong, 31-10 over Missouri. They just need some of those big boys in front of them to make some mistakes, but Spurrier's got those guys playing well. Number 6, Oklahoma falls to Kansas State 24-19. That does not normally happen. Game played in Norman's, and Oklahoma's usually really, really rough in Norman. But, again, Kansas State goes in there and gets it done. University of Georgia, 48-3 over Vandy. FSU, in the second half, just explosive output from Florida State, a 49-37 winner. Now, again, Florida State was number 4 in the country, but Clemson actually was a favorite in this game. Tosh Boyd and the fellas just could not get it done. Florida State runs all over them, 49-37. Oregon, number 3 of the nation, 49-0 over Arizona. Number 2, LSU ekes out the win over Auburn, 12-10. Look for some shakeup in standings with that one. And number 1, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Getting tired of saying it, but another blowout, 40-7 over FAU. So there you go. There may be some shuffling in the rankings, but only because LSU struggled with Auburn. So 3 could supplant 2, but this is going to come down to computers and coaches alike. Again, haven't followed Auburn enough to be even remotely competent on how that program's developed. I'll tell you this, though. In the Florida State game, E.J. Manuel literally is starting to cement his legacy, much like great quarterbacks, Charlie Ward and the like before him, of just great decision makers that know exactly what the situation calls for and how to basically handle it. I guess we could talk about this briefly. Arkansas's free fall does continue. This was a top 10 football program now that's lost three out of its first four football games. So much for that one. Look for heads to roll. Of course, Urban Meyer has Ohio State playing well, even though they're exempt from playoffs in any way, shape, or form. But that is your football love for today from the college world. What else is high on the be sure we tell you about this thing? Back to the NFL. All right, so we're back to the National Football League. I don't know, it seems to be very, 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 very comfy doing the National Football League, you think? For those of you Bear fans in Middle Earth, Matt Forte is out today. And I don't know if the formal word has necessarily hit the wire yet, but Michael Bush is going to be your starting running back. And let me be the first to tell you, if you're a Bears fan, you want to see a heavy dose of Michael Bush today. You want to see the guys like Garza and those guys fire off that ball, blow open holes, and Michael Bush should have an absolute field day against the Rams defense, which is pretty decent in the secondary, pretty decent on the edges, but is prone to give up, you know, big chunks in the middle. So look for Michael Bush to have a huge, huge day today if the Bears kind of play the thing right. Hopefully you heard the preview. I know we had some issues earlier. Matter of fact, just for the sake of making sure we get it out to you, let's run that preview of Bears-Rams one more time. And then we'll get into the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks from Mike and Mike. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. That's the number if you want to call and join us. It's entirely up to you, of course. Again, many of you, and I'm just hoping that you all didn't bail out on us when we had our issue. But then again, you do understand if it happens. So, preview, Rams-Bears, Week 3. Let's roll it.
As summer turns to fall, the Rams head north to take on the Bears in Week 3. Under center for Chicago will be Jay Cutler, who looks to bounce back from his four-interception performance last week against Green Bay.
In trouble now, dodging, and stands up left. The pass is intercepted by Green Bay.
Instead, Cutler will look to repeat his Week 1 results, when he had 333 passing yards, 119 of them to wide receiver Brandon Marshall.
Touchdown!
Led by cornerback Cortland Finnegan, the Rams' 24th-ranked pass defense will look to capitalize on Chicago's turnovers. Through 2 weeks, the Rams have forced four interceptions.
Picked off by Finnegan. Second interception by Cortland Finnegan in as many weeks.
Up front, the Rams are led in sacks by second-year defensive end Robert Quinn. Look for the team to take advantage of a Bears offensive line that last week gave up seven sacks to Green Bay. Last week against Washington, Rams quarterback Sam Bradford threw for over 300 yards for the fourth time in his career.
Sam rolling, fires to the back of the end zone, caught by Pat Mulligan, touchdown!
160 of those yards went to Danny Amendola, who tied an NFL record with 12 first-half receptions.
Wide open Amendola, 40, 45, 50, 40, 35, 30, Danny is deep into Redskins territory.
In order for the passing game to open up again this week, the Rams are going to need more of a performance out of starting running back Steven Jackson, who through two games has only 111 yards on the ground and was held out of the second half last week due to injury. The St. Louis Rams have finished with two wins or less in four of the last five seasons, but a win this weekend would match that win total for new head coach Jeff Fisher.
So there you have the Rams Bears preview. I don't know. I actually thought about going to the window this weekend. I really did. Thinking Bears, Rams. The Rams have a great running back in Steven Jackson. They have an up-and-coming young defense, even though they're 24th in the league. They don't put the fear in you, say that the Bears defense with all the turnovers they can create does. But let's look back briefly to the Bears-Packers of seemingly so long ago, the Thursday night game, week two. The Bears' offense obviously puked on itself throughout four quarters of football. Yet the Bears' defense only gave up one offensive touchdown in that game. Aaron Rodgers, you know, there's still concerns in Green Bay over how Aaron Rodgers, how he's playing. Of course, he doesn't have Greg Jennings right now, which is a huge, huge void. Donald Driver did catch the one pass against the Bears. Kudos to him. But here's the reality for forgetting the fact that the score was 23-10. It took a special teams touchdown and one offensive touchdown, three field goals to beat the Chicago Bears. The defense didn't give up. I do believe they still had four sacks in that game. Maybe actually it's five sacks in that game on Aaron Rodgers. The defense is playing incredibly well. And with some extra rest and guys getting healthy, you look for the Bears to be a little hungry and chomping at the bit, coming off a bitter taste of a loss to Green Bay. That said, the Rams are not a slouch by any stretch of the imagination. They've got some talent on that football team. And if that Bears offensive line cannot keep Jay Cutler upright, this could be a very, very long day on the lakefront in Chicago. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the Bears are probably going to put up about 35 points today. I really do believe that this is going to be one of those, let's forget about week two. We'll get Green Bay when they come to Chicago later in the season, and let's move on. And I think the Bears roll in this game 35-10. And the 10 may be questionable. Again, Steven Jackson has been dinged up. If he continues to get dinged up in any shape or form today, and again, I love Steven Jackson. He's a great running back. I wish he was on a better football team than he currently is. But that team is coming around. You know, Fisher's got those guys flying around. They're doing some good things in St. Louis. But I really hope Sam Bradford gets real acquainted with the turf and Soldier Field today, and our buddies in the Midwest prevail. Now, once this game is over, I'll be a Ram fan for the rest of the season. I like the way Jeff Fisher's got those guys playing. They're young, and they're talented, and they're going to be something special at some point. All right. It is 10:41 for your Sunday morning, the pregame show before the pregame show rolls on. We need to hit you guys with this week's Stonecold Lead Pipe Lock, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN. The Stonecold Lead Pipe Locks are brought to you by Peak Antifries, Anti-Antifries, And that will come after we hear Herm do his "You Play to Win the Game" bit. I love this bit. Talk to you in a minute.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on
"You Play to Win the Game."
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play. You don't play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then you're tired. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game. That's pitiful. You don't play to just play.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win.
Okay.
You start telling me
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Then we're tied.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
That's pitiful.
Get off the players' backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing, okay?
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. If you want to crowd them, they crowd their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them on the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want to know what I'm going to do. Think something contingency of that. Something contingency of that. Want to know what I'm going to do. Think there's a contingency of that. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm a soldier team. I was out
who's hitting, who's playing.
I was out who plays, when they play, where they play.
That's why we took the damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
What is that?
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we cannot give them the game. Number three,
hello?
We suck, that's the truth.
Right now, that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. Cannot play with them.
You play to win the game.
Cannot win with them.
Playoffs, hello?
Cannot cope with them.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
You play to win the game.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach him to do that type of thing.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
I don't coach that way.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
Zero.
I don't really care. I thought I'd tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs?
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. You start helping me, it doesn't matter. You're tied. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN Radio exclusive.
Iconic, here we go for week three. And my motto this week is, if just once in your life you succeed, stay with it. Ride it as far as you can.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
The only thing I think I've gotten right this entire stupid season is the Eagles over the Ravens last week.
Have you ever heard the saying, even a blind squirrel finds a nut?
So I'm staying with them. Arizona, I'm impressed. Went all the way across the country. Knocked off Tom Brady and the Patriots.
All right, you're doing good, buddy. You're doing good. You're very likable so far.
They're not going to do it again at home. The Eagles are better than they've played. The Cardinals may not be as good as they've looked. I like the Eagles on the road. They're giving 4 points. Give me the Birds by a touchdown in the desert.
Holy freakout. The Geek is gone for certain.
All right, I'm going back to do it all over again, Greeny. What I did in week one.
The Saints are going to crush the Redskins at home.
New Orleans at home giving 9, this time to Kansas City. I can't believe New Orleans is as bad as they're showing right now.
Drew Brees to throw over the middle, picked off, intercepted. That'll be the ball game.
I have to believe they get in the win column right now, and they can do it against Kansas City. I'm ready for an offensive explosion out of this team. I think it happens this week.
You betcha.
New Orleans at home giving 9 to Kansas City. Book it. I think.
Instantly, I regret saying that. That was a horrible thing to say.
And then finally, we go head-to-head. I'm going to our nation's capital, and I'm going to the best rookie quarterback that ever lived.
Who is this stranger from another land? Why does he walk among mortal men? What is his mission? Where can we get a pair of undershorts like his?
Let me say it again. The best rookie quarterback in the history of the National Football League. That's what he already is, and that's what he is definitely going to be. RG3.
Leave everything to me.
It isn't his fault one of his receivers lost his mind at the very end last week, or they probably would have won that game, or at least had a chance to tie it up.
And there's going
to
be a flag on Morgan for throwing the football at the defender. Gotta say, that's a knucklehead move,
yep,
too.
Yep. I like him coming home. I like him to knock off Cincinnati. The town is going to be going crazy. For RG3's debut at home, I like the Redskins in a big way. Giving 3.5 points, no problem. Give me the Skins by 10.
What? What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
I'm going with Cincinnati. Their defense is a pretty darn good defense right now, and RG3, he's still a rookie.
Yes, Commissioner. You'll never guess who's on the loose.
Good heavens.
Him again.
He's a great rookie, but he's still a rookie. I think Cincinnati goes to Washington. They're getting 3.5. Forget that. Cincinnati is going to flat out win this game.
I'm sorry. I was an idiot, okay? It was a moment of weakness, and it'll never happen again. Can you forgive me?
And those here weeks, they don't go. Locks.
Sorry, Mac, but I've got to attend to something really important.
Oh, boy. All right, so in case you couldn't understand what we were saying there, Greeny picked Philadelphia. They're giving 4 to Arizona in Arizona. I took New Orleans, and I said they're going to have an offensive explosion. The defense better step up as well. They're giving 9 at home to Kansas City. Head-to-head, we went to Washington, where Cincinnati's going. Washington is giving 3.5 to the Bengals. I took Cincinnati, and Greeny took the Washington Redskins. Great job by Joaquin on the Locks TV side. Paul Ryan. We call him Paul Contador Ryan because he's a cyclist enthusiast.
I love
cycling
it.
Enthusiast.
The production on this staff, on this show, is so incredibly well done.
They do a good job.
You guys have a budget on your show, and Hill and Slayer, I have to bring my own cowbell.
We do?
When do we get a budget?
I got a budget.
We don't have that on Hill and Slayer, I'll tell you that much. I have to bring my own cowbell, slap my hand, fart, whatever I have to do to make a sound effect.
Whatever works, huh?
Whatever works.
There you go.
Move it along, man.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here, coming at you live from Progressive. Today's topic is
savings.
Our first caller is Betty.
Hey, Flo, my insurance company just sent me a bill, and it went up again. Can you guys help me get a better rate?
Betty, you came to the right place. Only Progressive has the Name Your Price option.
Name Your Price.
That's great. How does it work?
We'll give you a starting point, and you adjust it based on your needs, so you're only paying for what you want.
Betty's calling the shots.
Let's go to our next caller. She's from my hometown, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
Flo, is that you? Just a little reminder about the family reunion. You should talk to Uncle Gene about getting a ride to the
house. Mom, I thought we agreed you weren't going to call here anymore.
Name your price for car insurance. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Available in most states for new quotes. Price match may be limited.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Hi, welcome back, kiddies. Welcome back. Let's get you some updated news as we get into week three of the National Football League as we wind it down with just about 10 minutes to go on the ride. Brother Ravens wide receiver Torrey Smith has passed away. News of that can be found on ESPN.com and the NFL site. Also, Falcons running back Michael Turner, likely to start today after experiencing apparently a DUI, was stopped by local authorities down there. So check all that out as well. Source Fox, Jack Del Rio to be fined for abusing the backup referees. Well, I guess that's, you might as well just get in line because a lot of people have been abusing those guys. Mike McCarthy says Greg Jennings looks good in practice. Don't know if he's going to play today. And tight end Winslow, Kellen Winslow, who's been bouncing around all of a sudden, is to be active for the Patriots. They lost Aaron Hernandez last week. Let's see. Chad Ochocinco, now known as Chad Johnson, he's back to the original name. Pleads no contest and avoids jail. And that's it for the headline news. We have a clip to share with you regarding it's Michael Bush. This is kind of, this may actually be kind of cool. So let me take 36 minutes out of your life and share this with you.
You talk to Mike Tice, their offensive coordinator, says, look, Michael Bush will get us the dirty yards. He'll get us the tough yards. He's a tough dude. He's going to get it again. This time to the goal line for the touchdown. He is a really nice compliment to Matt Forte. And a good pickup for the Bears when they got Michael Bush. And, you know, sometimes a team needed a touchdown drive more than others. That was one of those situations for Chicago after that terrible start.
Of course, that is from week one against the Indianapolis Colts. Michael Bush goes into the end zone off the right side. All right, so it's week three of the National Football League. What's your plan? Is your plan to fire up your grill and tailgate all afternoon? That's not a bad plan if that is indeed your plan. Let's run down who's doing what and why and where. People have been asking simply one question only, who's going to win? You've heard the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. You've heard a lot of prognostication. Let's run it down, and I'll give you mine. I have not broken this thing down to the in-depth as we normally do, simply because of the technical difficulties we had earlier in the show, but hindsight's 20/20. So St. Louis goes to Chicago on the lakefront, Bears, that's about a 7.5-point spread. Buffalo goes to Cleveland. I like C.J. Spiller and the Buffalo Bills to win that game. Tampa Bay goes to Dallas. That'll be a very entertaining game, but I think Dallas comes out ahead on that one. Detroit goes to Tennessee. Tennessee is just weird to me. A lot of talent just can't get it seem right. Detroit goes in there. I think Detroit takes care of business there. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. It could be a very, very fun game. Blaine Gabbert against an Indy defense is a little questionable, but I think Andrew Luck's going to be the difference maker there. I think Luck, if Pierre Garçon goes, well, not Garçon, but I'm sorry, if Reggie Wayne goes in this game, and he should, Indianapolis should win that game. The Jets at Miami. I'd love to say the Jets should roll, but they have a tendency to shooting themselves in the foot. They'll keep the game close, but the Jets should win that game. San Francisco at Minnesota. This game shouldn't even happen, unfortunately. But the Niners need a sacrificial lamb, so I guess they get to go to Minnesota and make the Vikings that sacrificial lamb. The Minnesota Vikings are a team with heart, though. AP, Christian Ponder, it'll be close for a while. And again, if Alex Smith has one of those flashback games where he starts throwing two and three picks, it could be significantly close. But look for the Niners to handle business there. Kansas City at New Orleans. This game should be a Donnybrook offensively because both team defenses basically stink. It is in New Orleans. Drew Brees should bounce back from a disastrous performance against Carolina. You're probably looking at a 40-35 game, but this should be – if you're betting, take the over in KC in New Orleans. Cincinnati and Washington, RG3 at home, first home game for RG3 in that the new-look Washington Redskins offense. It's going to be a fun game. I like Andy Dalton, AJ Green in this game. However, RG3 at home – with a show, with the ball in his hands as possible. Let's go Washington by three in this game. Philadelphia goes to Arizona. The Eagles, coming off a surprise win over the Ravens last week, look good. However, going into Arizona is never easy. If Kevin Cobb can ever get his head right and find Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona will actually be a decent team after the good fortune they found last week when Gostkowski missed the field goal against the Patriots and Arizona ekes out the 2018 win. That probably will not be the case today. Philadelphia probably handles Arizona in this game. Atlanta goes into San Diego. It's 4:05 on the East Coast in the afternoon game today. San Diego has looked good on offense. Atlanta's looked good on offense. That game could also be a 60-70-point game as well. I think Atlanta's defense is a little bit better than advertised, but I do like Phillip Rivers at home. Houston at Denver. Another one. This should be a lot of fun. Houston Texans defense plays very, very well, but Denver's at home. Peyton Manning should be certainly much more comfortable after what was a really, really rough Monday night affair. It is a short week. I like the Texans to win this game, but not by a lot. Texans by four. Pitt at Oklahoma, the Sunday afternoon affair. Look for this to be entertaining in that Oakland can play with Pittsburgh. They're just as physical. And do not be surprised if the Oakland Raiders actually pull an upset here. Now, Pittsburgh is favored on paper by about 3.5, but I would not be surprised. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take Oakland for the straight-up win in this game. The Sunday night affair, the New England Patriots against the Baltimore Ravens, great football game. I'm not sure exactly which version of Tom Brady you're going to get. If he's the one that's being hit a lot, then look for Baltimore to really, really roll. With the recent death of Torrey Smith's brother, I don't know where that team's head is at. At least I know they'll play hard for him, and that may just be the motivation that Baltimore Ravens team needs to get it rolling for the rest of the year. So let's go Baltimore by five in that game. Of course, the game last Thursday night, the Giants rolled over Carolina 36-7. The Giants led midseason form, looking like another run to the playoffs. And the Monday night game, Green Bay at Seattle, actually is going to be a lot more entertaining than more people are privy to. Look for Russell Wilson to take the stage Monday night and show what the Seattle offense is capable of doing against what should be a very, very physical and very, very fast Green Bay defense, even though they aren't ranked that high. And beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, kiddies, those are your picks for week three of the National Football League. For those of you CFL fans, look for this afternoon's game, the Stampeders. To play, who did we say where they were playing? Saskatchewan this afternoon. That'll be an interesting and fun game to watch. So I don't know where you're watching in this world, but I trust you're watching it in a safe, kind, and nice environment. Get yourself some nice brats. Get yourself some nice snackage. Enjoy the day. It's going to be a great day of football, a great day, hopefully, of family and friends and fellowship around the world. If you have any questions whatsoever, you can find me on Facebook at VinLove1207. I always look forward to handling all my wonderful fans, even whether you agree with me or not agree with me. That's wonderful. That's what I love about you. As always, as we get ready to part ways, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To my friends and brothers on the far northwest, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To my boys in the military, hey, I got mad love for you guys. I look forward to you guys coming home safely in due time. To my family, to my wife, Leona, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that. To my superstar daughter, Vanessa, I love you, boo, and I know there's a lot going on in your world. Hang in there, champ. I believe in you. And I'll brag to the world about my kids, all my kids. Anyway, 1 minute left to go in this wonderful ride before we shut it down. I don't know what else to tell them. I've already told them I love them. What else can we tell them? I can't tell them I hate them because I love them. So, you know, it's week three, that's football league. Baseball's wound down. Hockey's kind of done, pissing everybody off. But is what it is. So, anyway, well, that's it. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Now, there will be some things in the works for the Men Stopping Violence episodes that will be coming up, hopefully, within the next few weeks. So look for that for those of you looking for some insight on stopping domestic violence. And it's Breast Cancer Awareness and coming up in October. So be on the lookout for that. Okay, love you. Got to run. I have to go basically find myself some snackage for today's football games. We'll talk to you soon every time we see you on the fastest 60 minutes in sports.